Well, good morning, guys, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kelly S., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic from Tulsa, Oklahoma, with a little bit of a croaky voice. Today is Tuesday, July 2nd, 4, and this is the 7 a.m. Eastern Time Vision for You meeting. Today, we're reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are in There's a Solution. We're on page 28, there at the bottom of the page, fifth paragraph, starts with, in the following chapter, through one paragraph, ending with, no great obstacle to a spiritual experience, there at the top of 50 or 29. So comments are just on that one paragraph. So today's readers are the 12 steps, Rivka K, 12 traditions, Patrick O, Danny P is going to read the text, Colleen M, reading page 164. And my buddy Craig F. is our backup reader today. We're both from Tulsa. Anyway, newcomer greeter is Chris W., and second hour host is Colleen M. The reference number for yesterday, Monday, July 1st, in case you missed it, 2024, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, is 21532, 21532. And the 10 a.m. Eastern Time is 21533, 21533. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, quote, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Okay, so I will now have Rivka K. read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Good morning, Rivka.
Hi, good morning, Kelly. Thank you for your service. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer or meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Rivka K. And now Patrick O. will read our 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Good morning, Patrick.
Good morning, Kelly. Patrick O., compulsive eater in recovery. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7 every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8 Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9 OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10 Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on the outside issues, hence the OA name ought to never be drawn into public controversy. 11 Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, other public media of communication. 12 Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
Thank you, Patrick O. Okay, so here's how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. So to share, you'll press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. So today, we're resuming our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are in There's a Solution. We're on page 28 there at the bottom. The fifth paragraph says, in the following chapter, through that one paragraph ending with no great obstacle to a spiritual experience. It goes there at the top of 29. And we'll be commenting on that one paragraph. And then Danny P. is going to get us started. Good morning, Danny.
Good morning, Kelly. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for your service. I'm Danny P. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater only by God's grace and mercy. And I'm from Brazil. In the following chapter, there appears an explanation of alcoholism as we understand it. Then a chapter addressed to the agnostic. Many who once were in this class are now among our members. Surprisingly enough, we find such convictions no great obstacle to a spiritual experience. Yeah, I was reading this paragraph this morning, and I love how this book is didactic. It teaches me, in the doctor's opinion, what is my problem, and here, what is the solution. And in the next chapter, it's going to tell me what will happen to me if I don't implement the solution. What will happen to me, because this disease is permanent, progressive, and fatal. So it will give me many examples of what happens when I don't implement the solution. And then we, the agnostics, step 2, it's going to talk to me about, it's going to teach me the main objective of this book is to enable me to find power, because I'm powerless. So if lack of power is my dilemma, what I need is power. I need to find this power. I need to experience this power. That's why convictions about this power, beliefs or knowledge about this power, it doesn't matter. The great obstacle for me in finding power and accessing power is my self-centeredness and its ramifications. My resentments, my fears, my dishonesty, the harms I have caused, Those are the great obstacles. And the steps, they are designed to remove all these obstacles so I can access power. I can experience God. And I can have a relationship with Him. And this relationship will transform me. The transformation is not done by me. The only thing I'm doing is I'm submitting myself to the instructions, to the clear-cut directions outlined in this book. That's the only thing I'm doing. And then I will be transformed. I will access this power, and I will know freedom. I will know joy. I will know peace and serenity. I will know how to face life challenges successfully. I will move from self-centeredness to other-centeredness. I will become more interested in others and less interested in myself and my little plans and my little designs.
Annie, that's fine.
So thank you for letting me share.
Well, thank you, Danny P., for getting us started. Appreciate that. So we're not going to open up the meeting for sharing, and although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share your experience, or share their experiences too, or yours, whatever. If you shared on last Friday or yesterday on any vision meeting, please allow others the opportunity to share today. Please keep your share to 3 minutes to allow time for as many people as possible to share. I'll remind you when time is up. Please give me your first name, initial of your last name, and where you're calling from. I'm ready.
Craig F.
Craig.
Mm-hmm.
Christina J.
Christina J. Anybody else? This is a good time. Nobody's jumping all over.
Larry.
The
place. Larry K.
Hey, Larry K. Well,
Joanne B.
I guess we'll, Joanne B.
Yep, from Vermont.
Gotcha. Well, we can
Pamela
start
B.
with that. Every time I say that, someone gets on. Who is that? Pamela?
Yes, Pamela B.
Gotcha.
This is Patty O.
Patty O. Okay. We'll stop there. That's it. So that's a good lineup, and you guys can think about it. It's a good opportunity to share if you've been too nervous. Our lineup today so far, Craig F., Christina J., Larry K., Joanne B., Pamela B., and Patty O. When you get on, make sure you let us know where you're calling from. We find you on the members list that way. So good morning, my fellow Oklahoma Craig.
Good morning, Kelly. This is Craig F., recovered in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. This paragraph that Danny read, and thank you, Danny, for getting us started, is an introduction to the next couple of chapters, and it's telling us that the next chapter is going to give us a description of the alcoholic. In the following chapter, there appears an explanation of alcoholism as we understand it. It doesn't say it's going to give us a definition of alcoholism. There's no definition. There is no clinical diagnosis for compulsive overeating. You know, I'm type 2 diabetic, and when the doctor said that he was going to give me a test, I had to have three flat fasting blood sugars above 120 in a row, and if I did that, then that was then you're diabetic. So I suppose if they'd have been all 119, I wouldn't have met the definition. But here we don't have, it's not that simple. You know, we have a description, and the description shows us examples of people who, although they wanted to stop drinking, couldn't do it on their own. And, or if they did stop, they couldn't stay stopped, because they hadn't had a spiritual experience. They made a beginning, but they didn't enlarge their spiritual life. It tells us in the next chapter. And then in the following chapter, it says that it talks about the fact that a belief in a God is or convictions about God are not a bar to having a spiritual experience. And what it tells us on page 47 in We Agnostics is that all we have to do is answer the question, do I believe or am I willing to believe that a power greater than myself can restore me to sanity? That's all I have to believe. I don't have to believe in or have some well-defined theology or philosophy or definition, or I don't have to have a picture of God hanging on my wall that defines this thing that's undefinable. I don't have to know how many angels can dance on the head of a pin. All I have to do is to say I'm willing to believe in a power greater than myself that will restore me to sanity. And on that simple decision that I'm willing to believe,
Fred, that's fine.
Thank you. I can build an entire spiritual life. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Craig F. from Oklahoma. Next up, we have Christina J., followed by Larry K. Good morning, Christina.
Morning, Kelly. Christina J. in North Carolina here. In the doctor's opinion, you know, they don't talk about God. They don't talk about higher power, even. They talk about moral psychology, powers of good. They even capitalized power at one time on page XXVII. It always interests me that they don't really push anything about God, psychic change, moral psychology, and the only thing that kind of is a hint towards what we might be going to is the last line, though perhaps he come to scoff, he may remain to crave. So for me, I grew up in Pentecost, first of all, which was a big emotional release every time we went to church on Sunday. Some of you that might know Pentecost, dancing in the spirit, praising Jesus, singing songs, the big choir, you know, giving tithes. And it was just such an emotional experience for this little 11-year-old. And I connected to something within myself, and I always had. But food was always my friend because I didn't know how to take the actions to get to the connection that was going to keep me from wanting to pick up the grace that would come throughout my life. And, you know, like everybody, maybe not everybody, but I had horrific, horrible shaming, guilt, hiding in big clothes, you know, just throughout my life, everything you can imagine with food. I wasn't ever a bulimic, but I wasn't anorexic. But I don't want to go back to that. And so the only thing that's going to keep me, even now in recovery, from going back to the food is that connection to the higher power. And Danny P. so beautifully explained the whole thing. It's all we got to do, take the actions. I don't even, you know, if I'm working with a new sponsee and my sponsor that worked with me first, we don't have to think about God, not yet. We don't have to think about whatever the higher power is going to be for us. You know, we move along in the steps, we take the actions, and as we do, as I've spoken before, the lotus flower of awakening begins to rise up from the mud within us and opens to the sun, to the light. And that all sounds airy-fairy, but it happens. And for me, the food went down, and I have the grace of God. You know, I'm not interested. I have great, healthy foods that keep me balanced and sane. And then my job is to go to God with all my issues. You know, I call my higher power God. I call him many names, but that's one of the easiest ones to just say. And meditation, you don't have to sit in the dark and stare at the wall. There's all kinds of ways to connect. And even in the beginning, you don't even have to shy away from meditation. You know, you can begin to connect with your heart, begin to open up to you, because this is a soul healing journey. This is reconnecting you, you know, recovering you. And this is a beautiful program. As you're out there, you've never done it, dive in, because you have a chance to save your life away from the food. Thank you. Love everybody.
Thank you, Christina J. Next up, we have Larry K., followed by Joanne B. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning, Kelly. Thanks for your service. I'm Larry K. I'm recovered, and I'm in the Chicago area, and glad to be with everyone. Yeah, thanks for getting us started, Danny. Appreciate it. Appreciate the simplicity of your share. You know, it tells us here that we don't have to have great convictions about a lot of things when we get here. I had great convictions about food, that I had. But whatever your convictions are about a variety of things, it's not going to be a great obstacle to a spiritual experience. And I love that, because when I remember my first meeting, and I don't know about you, but can you think back to your very, very first 12-step meeting of any kind? You know, we don't know a lot. There's perhaps some skepticism. We're in pain, emotional, physical pain. I don't know about spiritual. I don't know that I had much connection with that pain, but that was there as well. And, you know, and I was looking for the hierarchy in the room, and I found it, you know, because what we search for, we find. So I looked for the people that seemed to know what was going on, the leader, the authority speakers, you know, the more powerful, that they spoke, you know. Then I thought, well, they know. We look for that sort of person. At least I did. And sometimes you can find someone along those lines that speaks a truth, that speaks the language of the heart, and sometimes not. But I love the fact that over time I realized that, you know, that there is no hierarchy. There's just a bunch of servants. There's just a bunch of people that got here on a losing streak of some kind, right? I don't care if you got a roof over your head or you don't. I don't care if you're, you know, live on Park Avenue or under a park bench, as they say, you know, Yale or jail. What difference does it make? Whatever your convictions are, there's no hierarchy. Are you Jewish? Are you Christian? Are you atheist? Are you Buddhist? Are you agnostic? It doesn't. We are broad and roomy. We are never exclusive. Recovery is available to you regardless of what your convictions are, what they're not, as long as we, you know, are focused on the implementation of these steps, taking action after action after action, as I've heard it said, doing things that I do not yet even believe in. I'm not even sure that I can trust in this. But if we do that, we'll, as Danny said, we'll experience a change. There will be an internal shift in our thinking. And when that happens, perhaps we're brought into a higher power of your own understanding. And when that happens, there's food neutrality. And there's so many other beautiful changes. Your heart softens. Your convictions may be strong. Your passion may be strong, but your heart softens. And there's compassion. There's no cool kids table here. Not here. With that, I pass. Thanks.
Perfect timing, Larry. Okay. Next up, we have Joanne B., followed by Pamela B. Good morning, Joanne.
Hi, everybody. This is Joanne B., recovered in Vermont. Just back from a trip abroad. I was in Italy with my daughter for 10 days, my 22-year-old daughter. And I felt so grateful for that, being able to be with her for those 10 days. And anyway, I just wanted to claim my seat just because, you know, I haven't been able to listen like I normally do. And I just wanted to jump back into the fold. Anyway, when I was away, we went to Rome and we visited St. Peter's Basilica, which was an incredible experience. And the tour guide mentioned this, the part, there's a story in the Bible, and I'm not a big, you know, I'm not religious. I would consider myself, I'm spiritual. I do believe in God because of God's really has been present in my life and has helped me in recovery for sure. But he talked about this story where about the 99 sheep. I don't know if anybody knows the story, but like if you had 100 sheep and one of them was missing, would you leave the 99 to go find the one that's missing? And for some reason that I just felt this connection when he said that, and the connection to this program and how all-inclusive it is and how it doesn't matter who you are or how you look for your higher power, it is you can find it in any. It doesn't have to be a textbook definition of God. It can be your own definition of God. And but it's like he's not going to turn his back, or he or she or it is not going to turn his back if you're looking for him, and he will look for you. He'll find you if you're lost. And it just like was really powerful. I just related it so much to my recovery because I'd given up, and I didn't have any more ideas. I was out of ideas, and I needed a bigger idea, and I needed to surrender, and that's what I did. And I love that this paragraph talks about someone could be an agnostic and can still find recovery in this program. And also, some people, you know, become believers, I guess, in a higher power. Like Larry Kay said, it's all inclusive, which I love. I don't know if any of that made any sense. I'm a little bit tired and jet lagged, but I'm just glad to be back in the fold, so to speak. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Well, thank you so much, Joandy. Talking my throat. So next up is Pamela B, followed by Patty O. Good morning, Pamela.
Good morning. Thank you so much, moderator. And thank you to our fellow from Brazil who's kicked us off and everyone who has shared. I'm Pamela. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater, Pamela B, recovering compulsive overeater in West Virginia. Really, really grateful to be here. This is my very first time sharing on A Vision for You. I began coming to these meetings in early April, and I have been listening every morning as best I can. I drop my daughter off at 7 a.m., so depending on traffic and the smooth transition with her, I am on the meeting by 7:04, 7:05, and no one said anything this morning, and I'm that total nerd in the front row of a classroom when no one volunteers, and I'm like, the donkey in Shrek, pick me. So I have no idea what I'm going to say. I will say that I love the part of the big book that talks about, and I'm totally paraphrasing, how roomy our journey is in discovering the God of our understanding. And a very dear friend of mine many years ago, who's a devout agnostic, not a member of any 12-step program. I had just joined OA. I came into their rooms in 2000. And he said, no, I don't believe in all that God stuff. But I will say, whatever makes starfish, spider webs, and puppy dogs, he said, I believe in that. And I never forgot that because it was so in alignment with what people were saying in the rooms, those who had gone before me, who had said, you know, you don't need a cookie cutter definition of your higher power. You know, go stand in front of the ocean and ask yourself, can you control the tides coming in and out? No, there's something far greater than myself. And when I first came in 24 years ago, I was very arrogant. Unbeknownst to me, I thought, I have this God stuff down. I've always believed in God. Just give me the food plan and get me going. And after two relapses, relapse is definitely part of my journey, I realized in both the spiritual and the emotional realm. I had not given it the kind of focus and commitment that it takes to have threefold recovery. You know, we have that three-legged milk stool. And I was in rough shape last year emotionally, very rough shape. I was in an inpatient treatment center. And when I came out, I started to feel, again, those dark, dark clouds descend upon me. And then I heard whatever makes spider webs, puppy dogs, and starfish say, go to OA, go back to OA. And I had no idea since COVID that there were Zoom meetings and phone meetings. And a very, very dear friend of mine recommended that I try a vision. Thank you. Recommended that I try out a vision for you. And I am so grateful to find a meeting and a group of people that are studying this book and sharing on it so thoughtfully. And with that, I thank you again, and I pass.
Thank you, Pamela B. So let me let you guys know where we're at. We're in the big book, in case you didn't know that. There is a solution. Page 28, bottom of the page, fifth paragraph. In the following chapter, through that one paragraph ending with no great obstacle to a spiritual experience. And Patty O is going to be up next. And after the Patty, we will open it up for more shares. So Patty O, you are up. Where are you calling from?
Hi, my name's Patty O and I live in Florida. Currently, I'm visiting family in North Carolina. And I'm visiting them, and I'm abstinent, which is an amazing fact for me, and content in my abstinence. When I read this paragraph, which I've read 100 times, about there appears to be an explanation of alcoholism, I do remember from the very first time I read the big book that I kept finding descriptions of what I felt, what I did not do, and, you know, and I was amazed, and there was such relief that I am not the only one who did, thought, and felt the way that I did. It really was quite a opening, or the beginning of taking down the brick wall that stood between me and the rest of the world. And it continues to do that for me. And then the chapter goes on to talk about, you know, my convictions. On any given day, I can't tell you what I believe in or what I don't believe in. I have a brother who's a devout Catholic and practices his religion, and he's the best man I know. And then I have a sister who's an atheist, and I'm somewhere in between, and I feel like I wish I had the comfort of some kind of conviction. I can't find a label that fits me. Sometimes I believe in God, and sometimes I think that while I'm praying that I'm a pagan. But you know what? I'm abstinent. I'm content in my abstinence because of my effort. Every morning I sit down and seek a power greater than myself. And early in the year, in one of the books that I read, it talks about that God is happy with my effort. And I absolutely believe that. I am making the effort. And it is paying off. For some reason, I haven't found it necessary to comfort myself or to hurt myself with food since September, which is, I've had abstinence before, but this is the most content and joy-filled abstinent. I no longer suffer for what I cannot have. I seem to revel in what I do have, what I have found. And it's a perfect description of my experience and vision. And I thank you for it. Hope you all have a wonderful day, and I'll talk. Thanks for letting me share.
Perfect timing, Patty. Okay, guys, so we're going to open up the meeting for sharing, and even though we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day so others can share. So if you shared last Friday or yesterday on any vision meeting, please step back. So who would like to share?
Lelon
P. Lelon.
Annette.
Annette.
Mm-hmm.
All
Kelsey
right.
R.
Who else would like to share? Who?
Kelsey R.
Kelsey R. Anybody else?
Nick F.
Nick F. Man, my job's easy today. Well, we'll stop with that group. You guys should think about it some more. I did not get the initials of Lelon and Annette, so I'll make sure you give us that. So it's Lelon, Annette, Kelsey R., Nick F. Lelon, what's the initial of your last name, and where are you calling?
Lelon P., as in Peter, calling from Berlin. Should I go ahead and share?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm a compulsive overeater. This is my third week in a vision for you. Returning to OA from a relapse. And I just want to thank everyone for your service and your wonderful shares. And I love the words I'm hearing today. Broad, roomy, all-inclusive. I love this sentence. Surprisingly enough, we find such convictions no great obstacle to a spiritual experience. It gives me so much hope. As I've shared before here, I gave up on God due to a permanent medical calamity some years that I'm still dealing with, but God saying I just was actually just causing me pain to pray and to try and make sense of everything with God. And when I finally said to myself, okay, you can stop the praying, you can stop the God stuff, I felt so relieved. I felt so happy and I felt so relaxed. And it was this huge relief to me. And it wasn't that I didn't believe in something. I knew I believed in something. I couldn't really put it into words, but it was like love, the love that humans are able to give each other. It was bigger. It was a bigger power. But coming to the vision for you, I feel like I've been hearing so much God, and when I make calls, I make so much God, and it's been stressing me out. And I've started to use God too, but then I feel like I'm being fake and not myself. And then on Sunday, I heard the special edition, Nancy P., who is agnostic. And she was talking about how when she said she didn't have to use the word God, that she felt it made her so much happier and she relaxed. And I just thought, oh, my God, like I'm allowed to do that. And that doesn't mean I'm not open. I'm like already I'm working the first step. I'm not open to I am open to one day being someone who's like God, 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 and and believing in a very religious experience. I don't care. But right now, what I heard her say that that the thing that takes care of me or that sweet spot, when I just say that to myself, I just feel the kind of love and safety that I would want, that I believe is some kind of higher power. I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Lelon P. And next up is Annette, followed by Kelsey R. Annette, what's the initial of your last name and where are you calling from?
Good morning. Can I be heard?
Yep.
Okay. Every once in a while, this thing gets tricky. Last initial is F, and I am calling for F is in Frank, and I'm calling from Florida. And this paragraph sort of says it all for me. I used to be a really big mouth and would share, you know, at any meeting or any time. And the last couple of years, I am uncomfortable sharing. I don't know why. Oh, I know why. Because somebody, due to an outreach call, said, it's my pride, it's my ego. You know, we need these meetings. We need to listen, to really listen, which is a lesson my first sponsor this time around taught me. But it's also gives us the freedom. I do believe in God. I always believed in God, but in the beginning, I believed that God had a target on my back. And now what I believe and know is that he doesn't give us the pain, but he's there to comfort us when we have it and gives us a tools to help us through it. And this meeting was actually one of those tools. And to be part of a group that has brought me back from, right now I have a difficult situation. My husband's very, very sick, and he's been very, very sick for 6 years. So right now I'm feeling a little restless, irritable, and discontent, and my food is good. My food is solid. I am recovering, you know, every single day, and it feels good. And I heard somebody say a while ago when I first heard about this meeting and I listened, and what she said was she didn't do anything. All she did was listen. She just got on the meetings and listened. And that has clung to me like a life raft. And some days I don't feel like doing anything but listening. And other days I get involved emotionally. But, and I share with other people. You don't have to do it. You don't have to get on the MO program and do everything. Just listen. And in just listening, I have gotten abstinent, which is a miracle. Food, you know, I mean, I get to a point even at my dinner and I go, I don't want one more bite and I'm going to throw up. So I can throw out food now. I can throw out food that's in the refrigerator that sitting there too long, and I can give it up. That was, food was, you know, once I had it in my refrigerator or on my plate, it was my birthright. I did not give it up. So just that simple thing that I heard, and I wouldn't have heard it unless I was on the line listening. So, I mean, and that's what I tell, just listen. Just get on every day, even if you don't feel like getting up, you know, put the phone next to your ear. Stay there. Thank you. But thank you for the life-saving listening. Anyway, I passed.
Thank you so much for sharing. Next up is Kelsey R., followed by Nick F. Good morning, Kelsey. Where are you calling from?
Hey, good morning. This is Kelsey R., compulsive overeater in Texas. Thanks, Kelly, for your service, and Danny as well. So this paragraph, I love that it directs us to agnostics. I've been religious my whole life, and when I read the big book for the first time, I skimmed over we agnostics because I did believe that there was a God. But did I trust and rely on that God to restore me to sanity, let alone to turn my will and my life over to that God, and that God would take away my difficulties? A whole different question. For years I acted as if, and that allowed me to get 6 months of abstinence again and again and again. And I would do everything that I was asked. I would do the checklist of things. I would put the food down. I would finish the steps. I would get a sponsee, multiple sponsees, and do the 10 steps, do all of it. But when my demands on the level of pain and discomfort were not met, I experienced the bedevilments that are on page 52, that say, were we having trouble with personal relationships? We couldn't control our emotional natures. were we a prey to misery and depression. We couldn't make a living. We had a feeling of uselessness. We were full of fear. Were we unhappy? We couldn't seem to be of real help to other people. Was not a basic solution of these bedevilments more important than whether we could see newsreels of lunar flight? Of course it was. You know, my disease tells me that if I had a stronger program, I wouldn't experience this type of suffering. But just yesterday, I listened to a recording from 2022. I'm so grateful for all of the archives that exist on our website. And a fellow mentioned those exact same bedevilments and added to the end of each statement, even while abstinent or even while recovered for years. You know, and we don't ever rise above being human. And the truth is, I hate feeling uncomfortable. And as a young mom, like with a child that has health issues, like it is, like it becomes unbearable to like endure those things and to like not trust that God is going to take care of me, but more importantly, God's going to take care of my sweet boy. And like I have to find a solution that works in every situation. Thank you. And I'll just end with this, where it says, we saw others solve their problem by a simple reliance on the spirit of the universe. We had to stop doubting the power of God. Our ideas did not work, but the God idea did. And so there is hope. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Kelsey R. Next up is Nick F., and then we will have time for a couple more shares. Hey, Nick. Nick, star one. Can't hear you, Nick. Star one. Hey, thank you for your patience. I'm Nick F. in Tennessee. I go to a very small, like, LGBTQ BIPOC meeting, and one of my fellows shared in that meeting, I was trying to be a pink or a blue my entire life, and I was never meant to be a pink or a blue. I was supposed to be a pink. And this recovery that I have now allows me to show up and suit up the way this power greater than me designs me to be. I don't have to look like anybody else. And I've done some step work, and so I don't blame the church and I don't blame my parents, but my experience is that I was brought up in religion, in church, Baptist, Methodist, Muslim, all these different religions. So I knew how to suit up and show up. If one person had on purple, the entire church we had on purple. And if Pops had on a red tie, I had on red bowrets. And so I knew how to look the look. And so I might not know what I may have denied the utter existence of the power of God in my life, because I, too, at one point, I was a Pentecostal minister. I could slap oil on people's forehead, and I could dunk folks in water. And when I went home, I still wanted to drink. When I went home, I still wanted to pop a pill. When I went home, I still wanted to kill myself with food. So I denied that kind of power. And what I did, I didn't know what God was anymore, but I knew what the hell food was, and I knew what it was doing to me. And let me just be real, it whooped my ass until I could not move and I could not watch myself, and I knew what God was because food was my God, and I nurtured that relationship to no end. So by the time I came into program, I wanted nothing to do with God. I just wanted to stop killing myself with food. It wasn't important to me to sound good no more. It wasn't important for me to look good anymore. I just wanted to be real and quit dying. In the depths of my disease, I was begging to die. I didn't feel like it was any other way. If I had to live like that, I wanted to die. And that I did. I lost, I emailed the region that I was in and asked them for a sponsor, a very sweet elderly old lady. I was in a grave, and she got in that grave with me. She didn't judge me. She heard me cuss. She heard me fight. She heard me talk about how disgusted I feel. She didn't judge me. She didn't try to break me out, do anything like that. She just shared where she was and how she identified about how food had killed her and sold her life, too.
And that's all it took for me. I didn't need nobody preaching to me. I had been preached to my entire life, and I couldn't get through. So when I came in here, I'm going to just be honest. When I heard the guy talk, I get a little timid every now and then. But what I do know is something has turned it all around. I can cook breakfast for my kids, and I'm not scared of cooking large amounts because I know I eat what I need to eat, and I put this shit down. It don't bother me.
That's fine today.
So my sponsor is getting me into the idea of my thinking, and so you are elevating my thinking, and for that I'm grateful, and with that I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Nick F. Okay, guys, we have time for probably three more shares. Who'd like to share, or two? I can't do math. Couple shares.
Lisa BT.
Lisa BT. Anybody else? Go ahead, Lisa. Might as well get you started.
Okay. Thank you so much for having this meeting. And my name is Lisa BT. I live in Guelph, Ontario, near Toronto, and I am a grateful recovered food addict, or sort of compulsive overeater. A little bit of my history there, right? I've been in food programs for a while, different ones. A lot of focus on the tools, all that on my part. You know, that I need to do this, I need to do this. And the whole time, really skirting around the issue of putting my reliance on God. It's been great meeting. The words I've heard have been like just little light bulbs for me. And one of the words, one of the phrases that I would definitely say was true of me is I was a very devout agnostic. And I didn't have trouble with, I found religious people that suited me. You know, I sort of did my journeying. I found all that, and yet what I could not get my head around was that God would really show up, right? And for me. And that has really been a place that I've been sort of, somebody said to me once years ago, and it was true for me for many, many, many years, I was really a fence sitter. And I was reminded one time we took our dog out, and there were some big rocks, and the dog had to jump over a little, a little space between the rocks, and was doing that thing, you know, like kind of, I'm not sure, I don't know if I want to go. We're going, come on, it's okay. And I feel like I've been like that, just afraid. So recently, I've come to realize that, all right, those feelings are there, but what am I being asked to do, and it's make a decision. And I don't need to know anything else, but could I make a decision and just say I am going to come to believe as it says in step two and make a decision as it says in step three. And I don't need all those other pieces, guaranteed in stone. In fact, they're never going to be guaranteed in stone. And it's taken me a long time to get to that place. And I'm appreciating this morning so much hearing the variety, of experiences. That makes me feel so much a part of. Even though I have this other part of me that's sort of holding back. So I'm really grateful for the meeting this morning, and I wasn't going to share, but there was a sort of a quiet space.
Lisa, that's fine.
And I thought, okay. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Lisa. We have time for a minute share if anybody wants to jump in and claim their seat.
Lisa B. from Michigan.
All right, Lisa, go.
Thank you. My name is Lisa B. from Michigan, and I'm a compulsive overeater. Just returned from Italy. was quite challenging food-wise, but I'm so grateful for this meeting. I got on and I called a few fellows while I was gone. The part that stuck out for me in the reading was, or one of the shares, I'm not sure which, kind of dealing with jet lag. But anyway, that God would show up for me. And it made me cry this morning. I'm so grateful. Thank you for letting me share. That's all.
Here I am, sorry. I'm muting. Anyway, I'm back. Okay, well, thanks, Lisa, for your share. And yes, guys, there is a solution. So we're now going to close. Wait, no, we're not. Thank you for everyone who shared. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following our closing. The share ID for today's meeting, if you want to hear this again, is 21535. 21535. So now we'll close with the reading from the big book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Pauline M., will you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Hey, Kelly, thank you. Pauline M. from Maryland. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you have found, and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.